Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Holy mackerel, what a weekend. Got a lot to talk about. Most of it involving the two geniuses running for president. Terrible flooding in the suburbs of Baltimore. I mean, if you've seen a video of this, it's unbelievable. A town called Ellicott City, west of Baltimore, is essentially underwater. They got 6 inches of rain in 2 hours, 2 inches of rain in 20 minutes. So you'll see that video throughout the day in news coverage, including three really heroic dudes rescuing a woman from the top of her car with a human chain. We've got an officer who was shot downstate in Illinois by a lunatic in a runaway car. We'll update you on that story as we get it. But again, it all comes back to the same thing. Trump's an idiot. Hillary's dishonest. And pick one. It's 6:11. We'll stand by for Paul Conrad in a moment. Do we know if he's working today? I don't know if we do or don't know. The show today includes Dr. Kevin Most and Dr. Sam Ristich. Dr. Kevin Most on important medical information. Dr. Sam Ristich on whether or not your bunny's in heat. Dr. Sam Ristich, of course, is a leading veterinarian in America today.
Glad you added that.
Movie star Steve Guttenberg later. And Adam Hogue on the Bears as well. And we have Dave Schwann in studio this morning.
We do. Good morning, gentlemen.
How are
good
you, buddy?
To be here.
Nice to see you.
Yeah, good to see you.
Mary Vandeveld, you're welcome down here as well. You know that.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah. So drive by anytime.
I don't know, with all you guys.
Yeah, it's probably not a good idea for you. And then, of course, Andrea is off for a couple of days, which she deserves, after running around chasing these dopes in Cleveland and Philadelphia.
Yeah.
At 6:12, now this. Every Monday at this time, we play an exciting game called How Was Your Weekend? Hey, Paul, how was your weekend?
Oh, it was fantastic. How was your weekend?
You know, it was good. It was very busy.
Really?
Yeah, it was a combination of watching Trump say idiotic things, Hillary be dishonest, and playing a little golf here and there. So,
listen, you need to cut out two of those three things, right?
I think I just
focus on the stuff that really matters.
I think that golf game,
you got to get that thing going.
How are you playing?
Great. I have not played better, only because I haven't played in like 10 years. But that's
going
to change.
Your children are small.
Small
children.
I'm at a point in my life where I can't figure out which end's up.
Let me predict your future for you.
Yeah.
In a short amount of time, it'll go very quickly.
Yeah.
Your children will be going off to college and then going off to their own lives, and they'll only occasionally check in with you.
Right.
But definitely when they need money.
Right.
Those days are coming, and you'll play a lot of golf then.
Yeah, that's what I figure.
Yeah.
But, you know, until then, I'm plugging along. You know, I was on a trip last week with my family and did some fishing. And do you fish, Steve?
I haven't fished since the last time I took Ross out when he was about 5, and he's now 25.
Right. Right. So, you know, this whole thing of taking the hook and trying to get it onto that blasted worm, there's got to be a better way.
I remember I used to just twist the worm into a pretzel, which seemed unfair to the worm.
Right, but then it goes flying off the hook, and there's just got to be a better system in place just because it doesn't feel right.
My concern was for the fish, because the fish, when they were laughing that hard, could barely bite onto the worm that they knew was fake because of the idiot that put it on the hook.
So you're using fake worms, so they knew right away.
No, even when I used real worms, it's like the way you baited the hook, fish are just going, look, we're stupid.
Right.
But we're not that stupid. Right. No worm has ever been in that position before.
We've seen guys like you before.
Yeah. That's clearly a hook. Don't go near it, Dave.
Right, everyone out.
Right, so then all the other fish would swim around.
Yeah.
Dave Bennett, are you a fisherman?
I used to fish. I miss it. I haven't fished in a long time.
You miss fishing?
I do. I would like to go fishing. I've talked about going with some buddies on a fishing trip to Canada next year. Will you fly in? Is that what you were doing, Paul?
No, not at all. But I'd like to send my kids with you, if you wouldn't mind.
No problem.
So were you trying to teach the kids to fish?
Well, that's kind of hard because I don't know how to fish myself, right? So I'm looking at them and they're looking at me and I'm like, let's just try to figure this thing out together.
Is it one of the first times your younger kids have looked at you and went, wow, Dad's kind of a dummy?
He is not. It's not the first time. I think I can see they look at me and they're kind of like, we can't trust him for much of anything.
There's a big transition period that goes on, right? Because when the kids are little, they idolize you.
Right.
And then you get to a point where they're in, oh, say, second grade, and you can no longer help them with their homework because it's beyond you.
Yep.
And then you start to go, when are they going to catch on to this fraud that I know what I'm talking
about? Yeah, this is pretty much it right now. Right now, I feel like I'm at my best when I'm at the drive-thru at McDonald's because I can order food there.
Yeah, and pay for it.
And pay for it, right?
Yeah.
And they're like, this guy's unbelievable.
He's the best.
So
he's
I do that like
nugget man.
Yeah, I do like 4 or 5 times a day.
Yeah.
I just zip them around and make it happen.
Well, Dave Bennett would like to take your children to Canada.
Good. Well, I'll take you, Dave, to the McDonald's drive-thru whenever you want.
That's a deal, Paul. How many are there again?
There's only 4, and you hardly even notice the 4th one.
Yeah, but all 4 of them take 2 of their friends.
not a chance. I'm in over my head with these 4.
All right, now I know you've got to go do the weather on Channel 9, which is your less interesting
It's coming
job.
Up right now, in fact.
All right, you get over there. We'll talk to you later.
Okay,
bye-bye.
Hey, you have good. Love you.
Okay. That's Paul Conrad, our friend from Channel 9, who checks in most Monday mornings, unless it's a point where I go, oh, we can't talk to Paul today.
Actually, he put some very nice pictures of himself with his kids on Facebook last week.
Fishing?
I don't know if I noticed whether they were fishing or
He's
not.
He's a terrific dad and loves his kids very much, despite the nonsense that falls out of his mouth whenever he's on. It's 6:25 now. Donald Trump's biggest problem is he's an idiot. And he has an opportunity to take Hillary Clinton apart over her dishonesty and continues to ignore it because he's incapable of apologizing and also incapable of not continuing to chase the shiny object in front of him that is the latest insult. He can't ignore it. He just can't. Now, in a Gold Star family, a family that's lost a child, a loved one, if you will, maybe a husband, a wife, whatever the case may be. When a Gold Star family speaks out and hits you as a presidential candidate, you have to be above it. You have to be. If you want to go home and complain to Melania, then go home and complain to Melania. If you want to yell behind closed doors to your campaign manager, Elvis, or your daughter, Ivanka, then do that. But you don't go on TV on the Sunday morning programs, in this case with George Stephanopoulos of ABC News, and you don't say this.
There was a man named Kaiser Khan speaking at the Democratic Convention. His son, Captain Humayun Khan, was killed serving in Iraq, and he had some very tough questions for you. He said you wouldn't have even let his son in America.
He doesn't know that. I saw him. He was, very emotional and probably looked like a nice guy to me. His wife, if you look at his wife, she was standing there. She had nothing to say. She probably, maybe she wasn't allowed to have anything to say, you tell me, but plenty of people have written that. She was extremely quiet, and it looked like she had nothing to say. A lot of people have said that.
These are Americans. These are Americans who happen to be Islamic. They happen to be Muslims, and they also happen to have lost their son in service to this country. Mrs. Khan said she walked in and there was a giant picture of their son behind them and she could barely control herself. She walks into her room at home or anywhere else, sees a picture of her son. She bursts out crying. You can't imagine the pain. And that's all Donald Trump had to say. Take the high road for once, you fool. All you have to say is, I can't imagine their pain. I think we all agree that, at least most people agree, Donald Trump seems to love his children. His children are healthy, and they're alive. These people lost their son in service to America. And the man that wants to be president of the United States says, oh, you look at the mother. She's got nothing to say. Now, to the Khan's eternal credit, they both spoke out this weekend. Mr. Khan spoke out on television. Mrs. Khan spoke out in an op-ed. I believe it was in the Washington Post. And they're not backing down.
And I suppose they'll be doing some more TV. I hope they are given an opportunity to go back to their lives. And I hope the Clinton campaign doesn't try to exploit them as a family. There's been no indication of that yet. But how is this guy ready for primetime when he can't even walk away from a Gold Star family without saying the right thing? It's unbelievably offensive. And it's beyond outrageous. Now, will this make a difference? It's hard to say. But how this guy is electable is beyond me. And again, it's not like there's not material here. You're less than 100 days away from the election. What happened to the pivot? What happened to the pivot to talk about what Republicans actually care about? What happened to pointing out the hundreds of things where Hillary Clinton has fallen short over the course of her career and legitimate concerns about what she will do? He can't even scratch the surface on this because he's constantly chasing stories. Here's Trump speaking about the father in this case. Mr. Collins claims, if you remember the speech on Thursday night, was it? That Mr. Collins said, "What sacrifices have you made? You've sacrificed nothing." In other words, you haven't lost a child. Trump had to respond to that as well.
He said, "You have sacrificed nothing and no one."
Well, that sounds, who wrote that? Did Hillary's script writers write it?
How would you answer that, Father? What sacrifice have you made for your country?
I think I made a lot of sacrifices. I work very, very hard. I've created thousands and thousands of jobs, tens of thousands of jobs. I think
those are sacrifices?
Oh, sure, I think they're sacrifices. I think when I can employ thousands and thousands of people, take care of their education, take care of so many things, even in military, I mean, I was very responsible along with a group of people for getting the Vietnam Memorial built in downtown Manhattan, which to this day people thank me for. I raised and I have raised millions of dollars for the vets. I'm helping the vets a lot. I think my popularity with the vets is through the roof.
Sacrifice is not choosing to build a business and running it to your ultimate success. And the fact that in his pea brain, he could even equate that with losing a child in war is just outrageous. It's unbelievable. And as far as his contribution to vets and the amount of money he's kicked in, well, we wouldn't know, would we? Because he hasn't released his tax returns. If you're supporting Donald Trump and you want Trump to have any hope of winning, you better hope that at some point he actually addresses any issues. Because right now, you know what? I'd endorse him for American Jackass. If there was an office for, you know, first jackass, he has got my vote. But to me, last week's teasing to Vladimir Putin, his invitation to Vladimir Putin to go ahead and hack America's cyber network again and to go ahead and hack the DNC again and the WikiLeaks tie to all of this, is nothing. Nothing compared to the outrage of what comes down to mocking a family that lost a son in war. It's just outrageous. And a busy weekend, I'm sure you heard a little about it, but those are Donald Trump's own words. You explain it to me. 6:31, big story next on 720 WGN.
I have edema on my thigh, pink stuff in my eye, and I need you now.
It's a love theme from Dr. Kevin Most, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine. Impact every day. Good morning, Doc. How are you?
I'm doing great, Steve. How about yourself?
Fine, thanks. You have a nice weekend?
I did have a nice weekend, yeah.
Did you do anything super fun?
Did not play any golf at all. No. Worked on that house I'm trying to sell. So, you know, it wasn't as much fun as it could have been, that's for sure.
You know, as your friend, I volunteered to help you with anything related to your house by calling Lou Manfredini. So you let me know if you need me to do that.
Perfect. Call him now.
All right, so one of the topics we wanted to hit today, and again, I thank you for all the preparation that goes into this segment because nobody does more than you do. Let's talk about drugs.
Why not?
There is a question about whether doctors are over-prescribing. There's a question about whether patients manipulate the system. What do we know?
Yeah, there is a big question of do doctors over-prescribe? And I can tell you, 30% of prescriptions that are written are never filled. So does that say we overprescribe? I wouldn't say that. I would say that we may not do a good enough education with the patient to make them very clear that they do need the medication that they're taking. A lot of those could be diabetes medicines. They could be blood pressure medicines, where really the person doesn't even understand the reason for the medication. So we need to take better care of educating the patient so that these prescriptions are filled. I wouldn't say we overprescribe. A lot of people say, well, we use a lot more medications in the United States than they do in other countries. Because we have the opportunity to, and a lot of these medications are extending life and extending not only the quantity of life, but the quality of life.
So where does all the pub come from overprescription? Is that just sloppy reporting, or do some places seem to be doing this? I mean, in other words, is it regional?
Oh, yeah, definitely is. You know, there's definitely, we'll call them pill mills or pill shops, you know, in every city. You know, there's places where you can say, oh, you know what, if you need a prescription for a pain medicine, go see Dr. So-and-so on the west side of the city, you know, or wherever. But, I mean, those definitely pill mills are out there. But for the most part, people that have an association with a family doctor, an internal medicine, a pediatrician, they're going to get the faith in the doctor and they're going to understand why they need the medication. Great thing about the internet now is everyone can go and do their own homework on the medications and say, okay, wow, should I have been on a generic instead of a trade name? Because a lot of people go to fill the prescription and find out it's $300 when, in fact, had they asked their doctor, does this come in a generic form, and it could have been $7 or it could have actually been free based on their insurance.
Because doctors spend less time with patients per patient during office visits, are you more likely to get a prescription because doctors don't have time to do a fuller question and answer and diagnosis, maybe the way it happened in the past?
Absolutely. It is one of our biggest problems by far. You know, physicians are busier and busier, and the amount of time you actually see the patient and have time in front of the patient has shortened dramatically. Now, doctors are going to say, boy, I'm going to rely on my nurses or my APN, advanced practice nurse, to do some of this education. But sometimes, unfortunately, the doctor says, you know what, the path of least resistance is to not argue with the patient at this time. It's to give them a prescription and then try to work on further education as we go down the road. I can tell you a perfect example. It happens to me every time. Someone comes in and says, I have a sinus infection. I need an antibiotic, and this is the only antibiotic that works.
Right. So they're telling you, hey, write me up.
Exactly.
Right.
When in fact, you know, depending on what the setting is, if you really took the time and to take the time and explain to somebody what is actually going on in their sinuses and what sinuses are and how they are a filter for us and how they will get filled and with stuff sometimes. But a lot of it's due to viruses. A lot of it's due to allergies. And the ones that are due to viruses, unfortunately, doctors that prescribe that antibiotic are just reinforcing that. Because as the patient takes the 10 days of antibiotic, the virus is running its course. And when they finish the antibiotic, the virus is gone as well. So they just reinforce it. See, I told you I needed the antibiotic.
Now, I want to go to patient responsibility on this when we come back and also talk about what opioids are and what we need to know. Because, you know, when it's a cover story in Time magazine and it kills prints and we know that there's abuse going on, we got to talk about that as well. And Dr. Kevin Most rejoins us. All right, Doc, so we're talking about do doctors overprescribe and pain meds. What's an opioid?
Well, the opioids, Steve, are the very highly addictive pain medications. You probably heard of Tylenol number 3 and Vicodin or Norco. Those are the ones that are the most common ones. And that's the drug that we really should be talking about because it's kind of interesting. If you look at all the opioids in the world, the United States uses 80% of the world's opioids. Think about that for a minute.
Right, of course.
80% of all the prescription pain medications written in the entire world for opioids are written in the United States. We write over 260 million prescriptions for opioids in this country. That's enough to give everybody a 30-day supply.
Well, and here's the struggle, I would think, if I were in your shoes. Different patients have different pain tolerances, and patients want a quick fix. And this is the patient responsibility thing we're talking about. Like, I've got a low back thing going on.
Yep.
So I just slapped on this goofy-looking back brace just to make me sit up straight while I'm sitting here.
Yep.
You know, there's a certain amount of responsibility that has to go into it. If a doctor tells you you got to lose weight, if a doctor tells you you got to do stretches, if a doctor tells you you got to do this or that, you don't do it, then you go in and go, give me more pain meds. You're
exactly.
Not doing your part of it, right?
You're not. You know, the patient responsibility is big. The doctor responsibility is just as large. So from the patient responsibility, you know, someone comes into the office and says, geez, you know, I hurt my ankle and it's really hurting and I really need something to make me feel better. You know, can I write a Norco prescription very easily and take that pain away? Certainly I can. But what's the right thing for them? Advil and ice. Now, when you leave the doctor's office with a bill for $100+ and he tells you to take Advil and ice, you feel like you get ripped off. So we have to make sure that we balance the education of the physician and what is actually needed versus the needs of the patient. And you'll start to see more and more people getting away from opioids. We're trying to get to places where physicians won't use opioids because we have such a high rate of addiction. And it, seriously, when you think about this, 20,000 deaths a year
are
due to overdoses of opioids.
Yeah, it's amazing. And for people to go, well, it's not crack, it's not heroin, it's a drug death. So, how is it better?
It is. It's actually worse because what happens sometimes is they get hooked on the opioid because the doctor gave them a 30-day prescription. Now they can't go back and get that. So what do? They go to heroin. That happens all the time.
Bad, bad story. Pain tolerance, of course, is different from patient to patient, so the doctor has to play a bit of a guessing game there, for lack of a better way of putting it. But what about these TV meds? Every time you turn on TV and watch 30 minutes of prime time, or certainly when you watch sports, there's a new drug coming up. Ask your doctor.
Yep. That's another thing I think that's absolutely amazing. There's only three countries in the entire world that allow direct-to-consumer drug advertising. The United States, New Zealand, and Canada does a little bit. What the drug companies have found is, hey, I'm going to go to the patient, directly to the patient, so they go and ask their doctor. And some of these drugs, you look at them, you're starting to see a lot of ads for Crestor probably, right?
Yeah.
It is a cholesterol-lowering drug. Well, it's coming off a patent right now. So what the company's trying to do is, hey, make sure people are getting on the drug and trying to keep them on that drug, because now what a lot of patients are going to happen is they're going to be changed over to a generic. And now instead of paying $250 a month for Crestor, they're going to be put on generic Lipitor for $7 a month. We have the cost of medication and the cost of healthcare in this country is as unequal as it is. We need to start using more generics and stop looking at some of these advertisements.
Right. So just because it's on TV doesn't mean it's right for you. And listen to that little voice in your head. And if you go to your doctor and you think your doctor is not paying attention or looking for an easy way out and write you a prescription, then maybe you need a new doctor. And you'd be the first to agree with that, I'm sure.
I would. You know, but the person who comes in and says, I want this drug. Me as a doc, I saw it on TV and I want that. As a doctor, I need to explain to that patient, here are your options for drugs that you can use. Certainly this one's over here. But is everyone going to be driving a Rolls Royce? The person who can get to work in a Toyota Camry and the person who gets to work in a Rolls Royce gets to work the same way.
Right.
Same thing in drugs. I can use a statin drug, generic Lipitor, which will lower your cholesterol as much as I can get you to take Crestor to lower your cholesterol.
Right.
And plus, with all the side effects they advertise, who the heck would want the drug anyway?
Yeah, my favorite one is could cause death. What?
Yeah, it's like, oh, okay. And they say it so nonchalantly. It could cause death.
There's an insurance piece to this, too, that we'll have to pick up at another time. But for people wondering about numerous blood tests and numerous x-rays and things of that nature, Doc, next time we talk about this, let's pick up with that, and you can explain why that's important and maybe where we could do less of that as well.
You got it.
Thanks, buddy. It's Dr. Kevin Mose, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine. Impact every day.
This is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio.
WGN Chicago.
720 WGN.
7-Eleven, more on Donald Trump's very, very bad, terrible weekend. And how he continues to dig a hole while Hillary Clinton wanders around on a bus somewhere and is not being challenged on anything she says. 2016. Tremendous work, Donald. Meanwhile, in a campaign year, you're going to get inundated with statistics. And in the spate of gun violence against cops recently, what numbers are real, what numbers aren't. Joining us now to talk about that is Steve Groninger. I hope I'm pronouncing Steve's name correctly. Why don't we get him on and you can tell me. Is it Groninger or Groninger?
Groninger.
Those weren't the choices, Steve. You have to pick from mine. Steve Groninger, Senior Director of Communications, the National Law Enforcement Officers Memorial Fund, And explain what you guys do every day.
So we do a couple of main functions. Number one, we operate the National Monument to Fallen Law Enforcement Officers here in Washington, D.C. And number two, we issue reports like this, use the vast information in our database of law enforcement fatality circumstances and factors in efforts to improve what law enforcement do on their work every day. And to help keep them safe, to ensure that each and every officer returns home after his or her shift.
Now, we had a cop shot downstate in a road incident of some sort. More details as the morning rolls out. But you have numbers that are very current. I mean, within a week or two, what is this year compared to other years for cop safety?
Well, overall, law enforcement fatalities were down 8% through July 20th, but the big headline from our report is that law enforcement officer fatalities in firearm situations are up over 78% this year compared to the same period last year.
And what do we attribute that to? I mean, what's an opinion versus, you know, a considered fact?
Well, you know, especially troubling when we look at these numbers is the number of officers who have been ambushed and killed simply because of the uniform they wear and the job that they do. They're up over 300%. Recent events in Dallas and Baton Rouge contribute to those numbers. But we're looking at 14 law enforcement officer ambush killings this year compared to 3 during the same point in time last year.
And this is why it continues to drive me nuts about the lazy media coverage that goes on with this or the run to ratings. And my friends at CNN, and I have many, are particularly guilty of this. Because you have a video doesn't mean you have facts. And when you run a video, just because you have a video and you incite this kind of violence, no, you're not technically culpable. You didn't pull the trigger. You didn't tell somebody to grab a gun. But crazy people just need an ignition to light the match sometimes, and that's what this stuff does.
Yeah, you know, we've had a number of killings similar to the what you described there. You know, like I mentioned, Baton Rouge and Dallas, but we saw these ambush killings earlier this year. Back in February and March, we saw them here in our area. We had two officers ambushed and killed in Virginia and one in Maryland. It's really tough. It's really tough for the law enforcement communities. Obviously, the families of these officers are devastated, but the colleagues they serve with are also devastated. And it really shatters a number of personal communities when this happens.
Anybody quantifying whether or not officer apps are up or down? I know after Dallas, the police department had a bunch of people who said, yeah, I want in, I want to serve as a legacy to those who were ambushed. But are we seeing people shy away from law enforcement because of this?
I don't know about seeing people shy away. Really what I've heard is similar to what you were referring to is I know in Dallas, since that incident, their filings and apps are up over triple what they would normally be. So there does seem to be a response to the Dallas Chief's call to action and, you know, his request for anybody who wants to get involved productively to come join the Dallas Police Department. And he said, I will put you to work and we will rebuild these communities.
I appreciate your time and clearing some of this stuff up, but there is ways that you can take part in this and help, I suppose, right? I mean, are you publicly funded for the museum?
We are not publicly funded. We are privately funded. We have the funding to build the museum, but we still need a lot of support in order to conduct the programming and everything that will go along with that. And we actually believe the museum is one piece to a solution here in that it'll be a place where we convene public forums, have free public programming, all designed around educating the public about what it's like to be a law enforcement officer and how they go about making decisions each and every day, oftentimes split to second decisions.
And we thank them for that. We thank you for the work you're doing as well. Thanks for being on as well. And Steve, pronounce your last name again.
Griniger.
That's correct. You've won a pizza.
thank you, Steve.
Thank you, Steve. 7:17, it's traffic time from Mary, and then more evidence that Trump may need a checkup from the neck up like never before.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
I have no relationship with Putin. He has said nice things about me over the years. He said something very nice about me. He said something nice about me. He said very nice things about me.
I have no relationship with Putin. I don't think I've ever met him. I never met him. I don't think I've ever met him.
You would know it if you did, wouldn't
you? I think
so.
Yeah, I think so. So I don't think I've ever met him. I mean, if he's in the same room or something, but I don't think so. I don't think I've ever met him. I have never spoken to him on the phone, no. And he was saying very good things about me, but I don't have a relationship with him. I didn't meet him. I haven't spent time with him. I didn't have dinner with him. I didn't go hiking with him.
What's the emotion sickness pills? Is that Dramamine?
Yes.
Everyone should get free Dramamine just to listen to Trump talk. He's backing up. He's shifting sideways. He's covering left and right. Donald Trump talking with George Stephanopoulos on This Week. Let me give you a couple of specifics from this. Now, this is related to the issues. And I'm always hammering Trump on not talking about the issues. He spent the whole weekend slamming this Gold Star family and defending himself because, oh, he couldn't possibly say sorry or he couldn't possibly take the high road. And in this case, he also had to answer to a few issues questions. And this Putin thing came up last week specifically because Trump mentioned, hey, Russia, see if you can find those emails, huh? Yeah. So he brought Putin back into the conversation, as he's done many, many times. You just heard his tortured defense of not knowing Putin. But this came out of nowhere, and I don't think Stephanopoulos asked him about it right away. He sort of stepped in it himself. But anyway, here's a discussion of how to handle Vladimir Putin again from yesterday's This Week with George.
You softened the GOP platform on Ukraine.
I wasn't involved in that. Honestly,
your
I was not
were.
Involved. Yeah, I was not involved in that. I'd like to, I'd have to take a look at it, but I was not involved.
Do you know what
that.
They did?
They softened it, I heard, but I was not involved.
They took away the part of the platform calling for provision of lethal weapons to Ukraine to defend themselves. Why is that a good idea?
I have my own ideas. He's not going into Ukraine, okay? Just so you understand. He's not going to go into Ukraine. All right, you can mark it down, you can put it down, you can take it anywhere
you want. Well,
he's
already there, isn't he?
Okay, well, he's there in a certain way, but I'm not there. You have Obama there.
He doesn't get it. How can you possibly be running for president and not know? How could you be the Republican nominee and not know that 2 years ago, in a story that was front and center news for not just weeks, months, Vladimir Putin's soldiers went in and took the Crimean Peninsula? He's already there, genius. Unbelievable. Just unbelievable. And I thought Stephanopoulos was kind of easy on him when he shoved it in his mouth as hard as he did. And again, as far as what his relationship is with Putin, do you guys exchange presents?
Russia and Putin. You know, I was in Moscow a couple of months ago. I owned the Miss Universe pageant. And they treated me so great. Putin even sent me a present, beautiful present with a beautiful note. I spoke to all of his people. And, you know, you look at what he's doing with President Obama. He's like toying with him. He's toying with him. So he has the Olympics. The day after the Olympics, he starts with Ukraine. The day after. How smart. You know, he didn't want to do it during the Olympics. Boom. The day after. So our athletes leave. We all leave. And the day after. And, you know, when he goes in and takes Crimea, he's taking the heart and soul because that's where all the money is.
Okay, that's a speech that Trump gave in 2014. Now, you can only have two answers here. One, he forgot and he's that incompetent. Or two, he's Dr. Evil. He's an evil genius and he's playing all of us. I'm kind of leaning towards one. I'm leaning towards one that he's clueless and even forgot he made the speech and forgot what he said and forgot what Crimea was and forgot that Putin was already there.
When he goes in and takes Crimea, he's taking the heart and soul because that's where all the money is.
Which, of course, is everything in Donald Trump's world. Now, the extension of this is where it gets a little dark and crazy as well, because is there some secret plan by Paul Manafort? Paul Manafort, who runs Trump's campaign. He's Elvis, the guy that looks like Elvis. Paul Manafort's last client as a lobbyist was the former president of Ukraine, who is now in exile, informs, and Manafort had a good relationship with him, and Manafort was paid by him. When Trump says, I wasn't involved in the platform, in the decision on the platform, and the Russian favorable decisions that were made in regards to the platform developed at the RNC, well, Paul Manafort was. So is Paul Manafort running Donald Trump's Russian ideas because he still has Russian ties? Or sinister theory number two, Boris Badenoff, Donald Trump couldn't get loans from American banks anymore. So he started getting loans from Russian banks. And if Russian banks were paying him, is that the reason that he doesn't want to reveal his tax returns? Because he'd have to reveal loans that came in from Russia. Is he an evil genius or is he an idiot? It's both of them matter, by the way. And finally, there's several that we can't get to all of them here. He called Michael Bloomberg all sorts of names this weekend and said Michael Bloomberg just wants a job with Hillary's administration. Michael Bloomberg has more money than Trump. He doesn't need a job. And Michael Bloomberg, of course, stood up and endorsed Hillary as an independent and lifelong Republican prior to that at the convention. But he also got involved with the debate schedule and tried to bring the National Football League into this. Two of the three debates that have been scheduled, there's three presidential debates. Two of the three of them fall on NFL primetime nights. Trump said, well, listen.
Well, I'll tell you what I don't like. It's against two NFL games. I got a letter from the NFL saying, this is ridiculous. Why are the debates against? Because the NFL doesn't want to go against the debates because the debates are going to be pretty massive from what I understand, okay? And I don't think we should be against the NFL. I don't know how the dates were picked. I don't know why those particular
dates. So you
don't
like the dates that are out there?
Well, I don't like dates against, you know, Hillary Clinton wants to be against the NFL. She doesn't maybe like she did with Bernie Sanders, where they were on Saturday nights when nobody's home. But they're against the NFL. I saw the dates, too. I think two of the three are against the NFL. So I'm not thrilled with that. But I like three debates. I think that's fine. I think it's enough. Somebody said one debate. I'd rather have three. I think they'll be very interesting.
The Commission on Debates and the National Football League have both said the same thing. We never sent that idiot a letter.
Nope.
Okay, maybe they didn't say the idiot. But we never sent Trump a letter. It never happened. There is no letter. If the one thing that your opposing candidate is known for is lying, Hillary Clinton, how do you outlie her? How do you go and be more dishonest than she is so you mute that defense? He is such a fool. He's unbelievable, and he's so incompetent, and he's so not ready for this job. That's why you ought to be afraid. Happy Monday. We have one more. Jake, what's this one?
I honestly believe if she told the truth, because she made some reference to my campaigning, I've had a flawless campaign. You'll be writing books about this campaign, and yet she's criticizing my campaign. Now, her campaign, she couldn't beat Bernie. Okay.
Well, she did beat him.
Well, barely.
That's how she got to be the nominee. Maybe he thought Hillary was in Crimea because Putin's not there yet. It's 729. Again, those are my words. Those are his words.
Can I ask a question?
Yes, sir.
How do you not know whether or not you've met Vladimir Putin?
Well, he said the same thing.
How do you know?
He said the same thing about Michael Bloomberg.
Yeah.
Michael Bloomberg, you know if you met Michael Bloomberg. He said, I didn't meet him, never met him. And somebody said, well, there's a picture of you playing golf with him. Well, I played golf with him.
And they both live in New York City.
Doesn't mean I met him. Coming up, Dave Schwad for Audrey with the big story next on 720 WGN.
Okay. Well, she did beat him. Well, barely.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Dr. Sam Ristich standing by. From the Indian Prairie Animal Hospital.
You know, I was been dealing this week. I was surprised how many people forgot the poop samples.
Uh-huh.
And they said, oh, I'll bring it back later. I put it in the refrigerator.
Gross.
I heard that three or four times this week.
Oh, you got to get rid of those people.
Mm-hmm. Never put your pet's poop in the refrigerator. Bad idea, Steve. I think I'd like to leave the show with that thought.
Now you know.
Enjoy your Cocoa Puffs.
At 7:42, we continue, and I'm a little tired of talking about politics for a second. Oh, don't worry. I'll get my third wind. And let's talk about your pets. Let's talk about some summertime with my friend Dr. Sam Ristich, Indian Prairie Animal Hospital in Aurora. Beautiful clinic. You got kind of the Ritz-Carlton for pets back there, too. You can board them, can't you?
Yes, we can. Good morning, Steve. How are you doing?
Doing fine. How do I know that, by the way, Dave? Because I know the concierge.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, and I've stayed at the boarding center myself.
You would
until they kicked me out.
To try it out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really nice.
Can they get you in any restaurant you want?
Well, no, they get you kibble.
Oh,
get
perfect.
Extra kibble.
Perfect.
Yeah.
We spread the kibble on the floor for him.
Yeah,
He's so cute picking it up.
630-820-6999 is the number out there. And nice to have you on again. All right, so you and I, while playing golf and known each other for years, we've had this discussion before. There are good pets and there are bad pets. There are also good pet ideas and bad pet ideas. What's a bad pet idea? Say a monkey? Say, if I got a monkey, would that
you mean
a
choice of a pet? Yeah, monkeys are always terrible. They carry a lot of viruses, probably like the water in Brazil. But I would, we take care of exotic pets here, and I would have to say sugar gliders are a real challenge.
What is a sugar glider?
It's like a flying squirrel. It's a marsupial, and they're small. They're only about 70 grams, but they bite. And they've got this habit of when you get them out, they like to urinate on you. And they're real messy and unfortunate.
Why would anyone have this?
Well, they're real cute. They're real cute, but they're nocturnal. Oftentimes in the middle of the night, you'll be sleeping and they're barking in the other room.
What sort of noise do they make?
It's like a little yip, 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 yip.
So they yip in the other room in the middle of the night. When you let them out to play, they pee on your sofa.
Yeah, and usually it's a high school kid that wants one for a pet. They go off to college, and they live 12 years. So a lot of times mom gets stuck with the sugar glider.
So a sugar glider is a bad idea. What's another bad idea?
Prairie dogs.
People have prairie dogs for pets?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, and then we had the outbreak of monkeypox several years ago, and that was traced to a prairie dog. So that we don't see as many, but they like to bite. The same thing. They look so cute when you drive through Wyoming and Montana, but they're not the best pets. And my favorite thing about prairie dog, and you'll appreciate this, the theme of the show oftentimes goes towards the anal glands.
Yes.
Dogs have two anal glands. They're paired.
Uh-huh.
I know. Prairie dogs, when they get excited, they like to expose their scent glands to you.
Why would that be a greeting? Why is that appropriate for the prairie dogs? I mean, is there something in nature?
Strange things in the animal. Well, it's a scent gland, so there's Steve Cochran. You know, they're just sorting out one another.
So that's like the prairie dog handshake when the prairie dog exposes his butt glands.
Right, but that handshake can also be a fist. A lot of times when you're examining them, those will come out, and they're very irritated. So prairie dog anal glands, the unusual thing is three. And they come out, they look like three little flowers.
Well, see, that's why you're the vet and I'm not.
Mm-hmm.
Indian Prairie Animal Hospital is Dr. Sam Ristich. We'll take some questions from you on your pets.
Can I mention something on Dave's report about the water?
Yeah, uh-huh.
You remember back in the 90s when you and I signed up for that triathlon down in Springfield, Illinois?
Yeah, sure. Mm-hmm.
Over 190 people became sick with leptospirosis. And we're seeing a spike in cases in dogs. Leptospirosis is a bacterial disease that affects the kidneys and the liver in dogs. But unfortunately, it's a zoonotic disease. So if your dog gets it, you could get it. And the way those triathletes got it is when they were swimming and then splashing in there, the water got in their mouth. Now, how did the leptospirosis get into that lake? The night before, there was a torrential rainstorm, and all the raccoon pee-pee went into the water, and that's how they got it.
So in Rio, we could have a mix of human and animal leftovers that are in that water.
Well, leptospirosis.
I would quit the rowing team today.
Mm-hmm.
I would say, listen, I've trained my entire life to win a medal in sailing. Mm-hmm. I'm quitting today.
I don't blame you.
It's just ridiculous. Can we take some questions?
Sure.
312-981-7200 if you have any questions on your pet. Dr. Sam Ristich, University of Illinois. Fine alumni. He's involved in the graduation every year. You don't graduate from the vet school unless Dr. Sam says it's okay.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. He grades all the papers.
You know, we've got two great vet students here this summer doing an internship.
Oh, you do?
Yeah. Ted is from Purdue, and we've got Brian from Illinois. And what a treat to have the students come. I mean, the questions they ask, they keep you on your toes.
Do they remind you of you when you were that age?
No.
Okay.
No,
it's
better.
They're better. Okay, I gotcha. It's 7:48. We're and it must be some sort of... some tribute to you. A spider's crawling up my leg here in the studio. School, no one's
oh.
That's odd.
Can I help you with that, Steve?
Get a diagnosis of what that is.
It's not a spider.
It's 7:48. I should have asked Dr. Sam when I had him on the phone about this. You know, if you're driving, Dave, and you get flipped off in traffic.
Yeah.
That may have come from apes. The American Museum of Natural History's 85th annual James Arthur Lecture this past spring on the evolution of the brain included a speaker named Richard Byrne, who studies the evolution of cognitive and social behavior, as you know I do as well.
Yes.
In my spare time.
4 hours every morning.
And particularly gestural communication. You know, gestural communication, like, well, yeah, you ought to.
Mm-hmm, sure.
Or, hey, you're number one.
Yeah.
Right?
Thank you. I've seen that before.
Yes. And apes in nature, it's appeared, have flipped off other apes.
Really?
So if you believe in it, if you believe in evolution, then you must believe that apes are also capable of flipping people off.
So it's a primal gesture then.
You right. Know, yeah, that's exactly right.
That makes sense, really.
Yeah, yeah. So an ape, which we also know will throw its poo at you, we shouldn't be surprised that these apes will flip you off. Mm-hmm. Any questions, class?
Well, I guess given the two, I would prefer the gesture.
Yeah, yeah, you can walk away from that.
Yes.
I also have in my hot little hand the final results from this weekend's PGA Championship.
I think we need to get to news right now. Traffic, Mary's got some traffic.
The good news for you, Dave, is we've got 60 seconds. My mother and John DeCosse and Steve Grzanich all finished tied for last. My mother didn't get her picks in. But John DeCosse did, and they were terrible, and Steve Grzanich was out getting French fries.
I don't recall him taking any.
Didn't
picks.
John DeCosse pick Lee Trevino?
Yes, he did, amongst
okay.
others.
Okay.
So let's go from the bottom up.
No.
In last place, Dave Ennett, sports director, 720 WGN. What happened to you?
Oh, my.
All right. Who were the guys I picked?
I picked Garcia, McIlroy, and Johnson.
Okay. All of them guaranteed to finish top 10.
They all missed the cut.
They all missed the cut. What are the odds that you would pick three guys of that caliber?
My guys all made the cut.
Okay. Again, what are the odds that you would pick three guys that caliber and they would all miss the cut?
In seventh place, this is quite a shock. In seventh place, the British Open champ, Mary Vanderbilt.
I was Mayor. The British Open champ?
I mean, Mary Sandberg.
Oh.
I'm sorry.
I was going to say, I don't recall winning
anything. There's so many Mary. No, in seventh place was Mary Vanderbilt, and sixth place was Mary Sandberg. There's too damn many Marys on this show.
Oh, she beat me again?
Yeah, she did beat you.
We just don't want Andrea to win, but I suppose she did.
No, fifth place, Andrea Darlis.
Oh,
thank goodness.
Phew.
Fourth place, Steve Cochran. Third place, Dr. Kevin Most. A tie for second with Mike Jacobson and Bennett. We don't know what Bennett does around here, but we know he finished second. And the winner was Listener Lou.
Good. Way to go, Lou.
We like that.
Listener Lou, you win everything on the prize sheet. Congratulations.
Who did he pick? Do you remember?
Yeah, sure. Jordan Spieth, Phil Mickelson, and Ricky Fowler had a combined total of 13 under, even though none of them competed in the end. Fowler, I think, was the highest of those three.
I think everybody did pretty bad, though.
Good job, Lou.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you.
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, Hollywood. You know I love you more than what I should. Yeah, Hollywood. Well, kiss me, kiss me good.
Good morning, Dean Richards.
Good morning, good morning, good morning.
Look who I have in studio, Dave Schwann.
Dave Schwann?
Yeah. Hey, Dean.
Schwanny.
Good morning.
Missed you yesterday.
Missed you, yeah. How you doing?
Well, fine. Maybe you two could get a room. we love Schwanny. We
you
love
look
having
beautiful today, Schwanny.
Thank you. I wore a new shirt today just because we're down in the Showcase Studios.
Yeah.
He wears a new shirt. He gets a new shirt every 20 years, whether he needs one
25.
Or not.
Twenty-five.
By the way, Dean, do you know if there's some problem between Schwanny and Vanderbilt?
Not that I'm aware of. Schwanee gets along with everybody. Right?
That's what I was thinking. But Vandeveld refused to come down when Schwanee was in the studio this morning. See, normally when Andre is away.
That's not the reason.
Andre is away for a couple of days.
I love Dave.
We discussed this.
And Schwanee comes down today, and Vandeveld refuses to come down. I can only believe that there's bad blood between Schwanee and Vandeveld.
Did we not say good morning to each other, Mary?
Yes, we did. There's only one computer there that we can't share. So, you know, we had to duke it out.
Honestly, how much does the traffic change?
And the paper scissor games.
Can't share or won't share.
Yeah, that's my point, Dean. I guess that's why TMZ cameras are outside the studio right now, huh?
That's right.
Yeah.
May I also say Mary makes an awesome crumb cake.
Yes. I brought Dave a crumb cake yesterday.
That's right.
That's code, Steve.
Total suck up. Yeah. That's code for I hate you.
Did I bring you guys a crumb cake, Dave?
That's code for you suck. You took my computer. coming up, Lollapalooza. Who's cleaning up? Game of Thrones OVA. Jon Stewart got hired. He's got a new job. Miss Teen USA apologizing for something. And the weekend wrap up of movies. We'll get to some of that.
You left out that I talked to Will Smith yesterday.
And Dean talked to Will Smith yesterday. It was just handed to me.
Bury the headline. That's why I wasn't there for you yesterday, Schwanee. I was in New York talking to Will Smith.
At a Walgreens. Right. It wasn't an interview. He just bumped into him. Is that true?
Sort of.
That's true.
It's kind of close.
It's 8:16. Oh, and Steve Guttenberg's coming up later this hour.
Oh.
He's a nice fellow. We like Steve.
Guttenberg. I think I saw him in Sharknado 4 last night.
Yeah, that might be what he's plugging. And Sharknado 4, you guys are running a video of this about every 4 minutes this morning.
I love Sharknado.
Sharknado 4.
I wish I could show some of it to you. I wish I could play some of it here, but it doesn't make sense on the radio because it's just...
Yeah, because it's so sensible when you see it in person?
Well, I mean, at least you could see a shark falling on someone's head and eating them. You can't really...
I somehow think the audio version would make more sense.
I can send it to you if you'd like.
Yeah, go ahead, do that.
Dean Richard, the entertainment editor, Channel 972.
All right, so Dean's back live from Channel 9, 8:20 in the morning.
I sent you some Sharknado audio.
Yeah, we're putting it together right now.
That is the highlight of my year.
What were you doing with Will Smith?
I went to see Suicide Squad, the much anticipated DC Comics anti-superhero film that will be opening on Friday. So I saw the movie. I interviewed the entire cast. Jared Leto as the Joker is pretty intense. Pretty intense. Margot Robbie is in it. Viola Davis is in it. And Will Smith is
Wolf Blitzer
is in the movie as Catwoman. Who would have thought?
I think he stretched. He really stretched.
I'm going to give you my review of this on Wednesday.
Did you hate it?
I am not allowed to.
Did you love it?
Not allowed.
Did you like it?
You know, normally when I like something, you can kind of tell, right?
Mm-hmm.
You can tell in the tone of my voice.
Normally I'll say something like, this is not a review, but I liked it. We're not hearing that right now.
I'll tell you on Wednesday.
He sounds like a witness in the Enron case right now. Here's a little bit of...
The Russians may have something to do with my review.
Here's a little bit of Dean and his best friend, Will Smith.
What does it mean to be part of like a huge franchise like this?
You know, what was for me, what's great is, you know, and this is one of the biggest casts that I've ever been involved with. Have you worked with a bigger cast?
No, that's pretty.
It's like everybody takes a little bit of weight. You know, nobody has to carry all of the weight of the franchise. Yeah, it's the pressure's off. We go and we get to have fun, and it's a whole lot easier.
Yeah.
Even something like this, like doing the press.
I read that you were like actually geeked out.
No, I almost lost it.
Batmobile
came around the corner because I've made a lot of movies, so it's like it's no big deal. And until I was on set and the Batmobile came around the corner, and I was No, it was really bad. I was like, I lost all my dead shot, you know. Ben Affleck jumped out the Batmobile in the suit, and I was like,
He's excited. Very excited about the whole thing.
Excitable Will. Who else is in that interview?
Cara Delevingne, English actress.
Yeah.
She plays
lovely.
Kind of a villainous character in the movie. Yeah. Jay Hernandez is one of the Suicide Squad in the movie.
Mm-hmm. So what did you think of the movie?
On Wednesday, I'm going to give you my full... I can't even hint about this one.
Did Will Smith go in West Philadelphia, born and raised, on the playground is where I spent most days? Did he just at any point do that?
Steve, you're going to have to consult my attorneys on this for any further comment.
All right, moving on. Game of Thrones, over?
It will be after season 8. This has been rumored for a little while now, but HBO made it official over the weekend.
I haven't watched a minute of it.
Nor have I, but it's one of the top-rated shows. It's got the most nominations for Emmy Awards that are be coming up in September, but they announced after Season 8 that's going to be it. So now all the rumors are focusing on spinoffs, shows for some of the characters, maybe a Game of Thrones movie. But
If I wanted to see violent tribes fighting each other, I could just go back to my youth.
I just turn on the news any day.
So, here it's great. Jon Stewart, speaking of HBO, Jon Stewart's working for HBO now?
Jon Stewart is going to be doing something a little bit interesting. It's not a little bit like the Daily Show, but except it's going to be animated. It's going to be a daily animated parody show, parody of the cable news networks, dealing with fresh
as
material
a cartoon?
Every single day.
I don't know. That's goofy.
You don't think that's going to work?
Why doesn't he just go on HBO and do like a Bill Maher thing where he can curse?
I don't know. I don't know how you turn out animated.
I know you draw it every day.
That fast. That's the part that I don't get.
I don't get it either.
I guess there's some. I guess it's not really like a sweatshop like the Disney studio was back
in the early
days where they actually have people drawing things out. I know everything's done by computer now and is faster, but it seems like that sort of thing takes a super long time. But that's what it's going to be. They're hoping it's going to be on the air in October, just before the election. They say that they want it to be an animated parody of the cable news network, sort of like The Onion, the satire newspaper The Onion.
I think we're overthinking it a little bit.
Mm-mm.
Miss Teen USA.
This happened over the weekend. The pageant took place over the weekend, and the winner was little Miss Teen Texas. Her name is Carly Hay.
Mm-hmm. Carly Hay!
Carly Hay! And they went back into some of her social media, to learn about the new Miss Teen USA, and found some pretty racist tweets that had been put out.
Oh, Carly Hay, what'd you write there?
This is how far back they went, between the years 2013 and 14, and found some tweets containing the N-word. So she has apologized. She has said that she's a new person now. She regrets some of the things that she put on there. Her exact quote from yesterday: I've had many personal struggles myself. I found myself in a place that is not representative of who I am as a person. I admit that I've used language publicly in the past, which I'm not proud of.
Well, that's the right answer. I doubt that she wrote it, but it's the right answer.
Yeah. Well, she says, today I'm a better person. I'm honored to hold this title and will use this platform to promote the value of others.
Apparently, Josh Groban broke up with the girl from... what's that horrible show on CBS? Two Broke Girls? Kat Dennings. Do you think Josh Groban finally saw the show? Finally watched it and went, what the hell are you in?
Are you what? What is this?
I can't go out with you.
On a happier note, and this is especially for Mary, because I know she's a huge Dancing with the Stars fan, Kim Johnson and Robert Herjavec.
It's Robert, unpronounceable last name.
Herjavec?
Yeah.
They got married.
Oh, isn't that nice?
Oh, brother. Well, we knew they were, so.
And if you're interested in naked pictures of the future First Lady, Melania Trump, they're all over the New York Post.
That's right.
Melania Trump, from a 1996 issue of some French magazine, canoodling, as Sneed might say, with another woman.
It's on the front page of the newspaper there.
Hard to believe the New York Post is struggling for readers.
It's hard to believe that they would put such a thing on the front page, because normally the New York Post is, you know, a barometer of morality.
Absolutely. Headless man found in topless bar. All right, so we have a clip from Sharknado, and I believe you don't need to see the video.
You'll need to. You'll get some of this. The first piece is a little dialogue between.
You don't need to explain it. Okay. This stands on its own. This kind of art stands on its own, Dean.
Bon appetit.
Sharknado 4.
So you're here for the Shark World opening, I take it?
No, we're here for a family reunion at the Stratosphere. My son's on military leave.
Military leave? That's nice. Must be proud.
Drop and give me 20!
Keep your eyes on the road.
Can you feel the drama?
I'm guessing this is where the sharks are coming in eating people.
You can hear the crunching a little bit. This is in a Las Vegas casino.
Please tell me Ian Ziering survives. What, did that shark have indigestion? It sounds like he burped.
Yes. Yeah.
He has to for Sharknado 5, doesn't he?
Look, when you're eating people whole like that, you're bound to get a little indigestion.
You know what I suggest for the sharks? A quick Beano tablet right before they go crazy.
Sounded like someone was kissing the shark, too, earlier. So like,
isn't Stratosphere where they have the roller coaster up on top?
That is correct.
Of the wow.
That is
correct. Sharks coming down on the roller coaster.
There's a scene in Sharknado 4 that is supposed to be Chicago because you see the bean. Therefore, it was shot here, I'm guessing. Stacey Dash plays the mayor of Chicago.
Well, that's kind of funny when you think about it,
doesn't it? Of that, there are a lot of... I'm telling you, this thing is so awful. It's so awful, I cannot take my eyes off it. Of little, just tiny little cameos, surprise little cameos.
Is it on Netflix or whatever it's on now?
Sci-fi.
Sci-fi. It's on sci-fi now?
It might be on Netflix. I haven't checked, but it was on sci-fi last night. And I got to think that they're going to run it over and over and over.
I think you can also get it on getalife.com. I think you can get it on Go Outside. There's a whole big world out there.
Spoiler alert, the part of Chicago with Stacey Dash.
Yeah.
As the mayor, she's being interviewed by a reporter in front of the Bean, because that's where the mayor always gets interviewed.
Yeah.
And
a either house... that or at a deep dish pizza place.
Right. Right.
The two things that identify Chicago.
And a house falls on her a la Wizard of Oz.
Oh. That's actually kind
spoiler
of
spoiler alert.
Thank you, Dean, for that important update.
My pleasure.
I'll talk to you later.
Okay. Have a good day.
See ya. Bye-bye. 831. Big story next, 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Identify the theme. $1 million if you identify the theme. Dave?
It's not Indiana
Steve
Jones.
Gutenberg's about to come on.
Steve Gutenberg.
Oh, time's up. Police Academy.
Oh, I know. I was going to say Police Academy.
It's a shame I had $1 million for you.
I thought it was a new Olympics theme.
Steve Gutenberg joins us now. Can you believe they didn't know the theme, Steve? I should fire them.
Hi, Steve. Don't fire them. Just beat them.
Beat them. Okay, I will
thank
beat
you,
them.
Steve.
I will schedule them for a 10 a.m. beating. Where were you last week when Chelsea Clinton mentioned that she and her father watched all the Police Academy movies?
Oh, man. I was laying in bed with the woman I love, and we were watching the DNC, and we just were thrilled. It was so exciting. And I actually saw Bill in person a few years ago, and he told me that. So this is actually truth in politics.
Which doesn't really happen very often.
Doesn't happen very long at all. Happened not very often, but I was thrilled, and it really was metaphorically a great display of what is important in life. Not only is hard work really important, but it's important to relax and be entertained by shows like yourselves, the movies like I make. It's really important, and recreation. It's just important to rest the brain and be attentive when you need to be.
Well, as a parent, you think, well, my kid's going to remember everything we ever did. It really comes down to key moments in life. It comes down to key things that sit with them. And the idea that this was a special thing between Chelsea Clinton and President Clinton when she was a little girl, that's a nice thing for you. It's a nice thing in general.
It really is, yeah. Yeah, in general it is. And it really was a sweet moment. And I'm hoping that To Lava Tulantula becomes his next favorite show.
Moving on.
What are you laughing? You think I'm promoting? What the hell is done? Steve, I got to tell you something. I've got family in Chicago, the Levy family.
Okay.
Mark Levy and Sarah Levy and a bunch of the Levys, Terry Levy. So I just want to give a shout out to them. They have terrific restaurants.
Oh, the restaurant Levys. These are big shots.
Yeah,
the Levy group.
They're family to me. They're a great family, and they're such hard workers and such good people. I just want to give a shout out to all the family I have here, the Levy family in Chicago.
I have met many of them. They all seem like fine people. You know who else is here? Yeah. And I assume you're old pals, is Tim Kazurinsky. Tim's a buddy for years.
Oh, isn't he great? And Tim actually was on Broadway last year doing Wicked.
Right.
And he's actually doing a bunch of stage in Chicago.
He's one of the
wonderful guy, and him and his wife Marcia are just the most lovely friends, and I adore them and I treasure them. Tim is really one of the special guys, as you know.
Oh, he's tremendous. He's been a friend for years, and he's lived here forever, and he's one of the funniest people you'll ever find.
Yeah.
And he's not one of these people that's on all the time and he's got to dominate.
No.
He just waits for his opening and he just slays you.
Yeah, he is. He's a really smart guy, and he has such good nature, and he's so kind. And we need more people like Tim. I wish we had a billion more.
Hey, weren't you in a movie called Lavantula?
I was. Lavalantula.
I mean, Lavalantula.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right. And thank goodness on the Sci-Fi Channel. It was a big hit. And this Saturday, August 6th, we have To Lava Tulantula, which is the sequel, which is a lot of fun. And I sure hope it does well so I can buy more underwear.
Now, I watched the first one over and over again, so I know. But for people that missed it, explain the premise.
Well, it's a true story, and I don't know if you read about it in the New York Times, but about 10 years ago, giant lava-spewing spiders burst out of a volcano in the Santa Monica Mountains and practically destroyed all of Los Angeles.
Yeah, I remember.
And there was this one, that's a true story, there was one fellow named Colton West who took it into his hands to beat all the spiders and save the day and get the girl. And I actually met Colton, very humble guy. And we made a true story about his life.
Now, the only problem is, and you hope this doesn't happen, if there's a gargantulantula, then you got yourself troubles.
No, then you got yourself troubles. Or a lot more fun, bigger guns. You know, there's nothing wrong with having a bigger gun, Steve.
To Lava...
Actually, the ladies love it.
To Lava Tulantula on the Sci-Fi Channel when?
It's this Saturday, August 6th. And I know it's Eastern time at 8 o'clock. I know in Chicago you're on a different planet, so it might be, you know, I don't know, 3 in the morning or whatever.
No, actually, it's the new math. It's 7. If it's 8 in New York, it's 7 here.
It's 7. Everybody goes to sleep so early there. But, yeah, it's on at 7 o'clock in Chicago, and I sure hope everybody watches. It's a really good time. And in such a tumultuous period of our world and our country, it's really great to have a terrific distraction. And it's in the vein of our Sharknado sister. So it's a lot of fun. It's a bit of a parody, but we really had a good time with it.
It's a bit of a parody. It's a true story. It's not a parody.
Wait a minute. What the hell am I saying? It's a true story.
It's To Lava Tulantula. And if this goes well on Saturday, there might be a Lavalantula 3.
Yes, actually, Lavalantula live. Yes. You saw Grease live. You saw Peter Pan live. Get ready for Lavalantula live. An hour and a half of hopefulness. And listen, all I want is the Levys to watch. If the Levys watch, upset. What do I need?
If the Levys watch, you'll be happy. And by the way, the woman that you were in bed with last week that you love, I hope she still loves you after To Lava Tulantula this Saturday on Sci-Fi.
She sure does. The check cleared and everything's fine this week.
All right, man. Great talking to you. Hold on. Steve Guttenberg. You're a funny dude. We like Steve.
By the way, the schedule Saturday on Sci-Fi?
Yeah.
Okay, so at noon, you have, well, at 10 o'clock, 8 a.m., they have Bait, powerful tsunami sends ocean waters rushing into an underground supermarket, prompting the terrified shoppers fight for their lives as vicious man-eating sharks glide down the aisles.
That's Bait.
That's Bait.
Sounds like a Sharknado ripoff.
Followed by Sharknado, Sharknado 2, Sharknado 3, Sharknado 4, Lavalantula 1,
and
then
Lavalantula,
and then Arachnoquake, an earthquake. I'm not making this up. An earthquake unleashes monstrous spiders on New Orleans.
Oh, that's fantastic.
No wonder people who watch that stuff never leave the house.
Senator John McCain, who, of course, was the subject of one of Trump's first insults when he said, McCain's not a hero. I like people that don't get caught. Trump's commenting on, or I should say, McCain commenting on Trump really taking cheap shots at the Gold Star family has condemned them. He said, I cannot emphasize enough how deeply I disagree with Trump's statement. I hope America understands that the remarks do not represent the views of the Republican Party, its officers, or candidates. That's one of the big concerns the Republicans have this morning, is the guy at the top of the party, at least in title, is Donald Trump. And Donald Trump, who can't let an insult pass, or a perceived insult in this case, took what the Khan family said at the DNC. And when George Stephanopoulos brought it up this weekend, could have said, I can't imagine their pain. I wish them nothing but the best. No, no, no. Instead, it went the other way, didn't it? Listen.
There was a man named Kaiser Khan speaking at the Democratic Convention. His son, Captain Humayun Khan, was killed serving in Iraq. And he had some very tough questions for you. He said you wouldn't have even let his son in America.
He doesn't know that. I saw him. He was, very emotional and probably looked like a nice guy to me. His wife, if you look at his wife, she was standing there. She had nothing to say. She probably, maybe she wasn't allowed to have anything to say, you tell me, but plenty of people have written that. She was extremely quiet, and it looked like she had nothing to say. A lot of people have said that.
I really wish he could find any other idiot on the planet who said she had nothing to say prior to when he said she had nothing to say. By the way, Mrs. Khan said she walks into a room with a picture of her son and she bursts into tears. She was very emotional and she asked not to speak. She wasn't told what to do. She wasn't emotionally able to speak. By the way, she's speaking now. You got a mother of a Gold Star family out talking now about how cruel and insensitive and heartless Donald Trump is. That's good for the Republican Party. That's a big help. By the way, Mr. Khan was asked to speak on various other places, including CNN, as to what Trump said about his wife and about him.
To not be aware of the respect of a Gold Star mother standing there, and he had to take that shot at her, this is height of ignorance. This is why I showed him that Constitution. Had he read that, he would know what status a Gold Star mother holds in this nation. This country holds such a person in the highest regard, and he has no knowledge, no awareness. That is height of his ignorance. She is ill. She had high blood pressure. People that know her looked at her face, and she said, I may fall off the stage. And I told her that you have to assemble yourself and stand for the beauty of this tribute that is being paid. This person is total incapable of empathy. I want his family to counsel him, teach him some empathy. He will be a better person if he could become, but he is a black soul.
Trump tweeted very recently, Mr. Khan, who does not know me, viciously attacked me from the stage of the DNC and is now all over TV doing the same. Nice. He doesn't understand.
He doesn't get it.
He doesn't get it. He's an idiot. As usual, John Oliver on Last Week Tonight. All over it last night. This is a reason to get HBO as much as anything else, is how good John Oliver is. Here's a little bit of that.
For a start, his wife has explained that she chose not to speak because she gets too upset when she sees images of her dead son's face, you f***ing But I'm sorry. Please continue.
He said, "You have sacrificed nothing and no one."
Well, that sounds, who wrote that? Did Hillary's script writers write it?
How would you answer that, Father? What sacrifice have you made for your country?
I think I made a lot of sacrifices. I work very, very hard. I've created thousands and thousands of jobs, tens of thousands of jobs, built great structures. I've had tremendous success. I think
those are sacrifices?
Well, sure, I think they're sacrifices.
No! No, they are absolutely not. They are self-serving half-truths from a self-serving half-man who has somehow convinced half the country that sacrifice is the same thing as success. Honestly, the main takeaway from these 2 weeks is that, incredibly, we may be on the brink of electing such a damaged, sociopathic narcissist that the simple presidential duty of comforting the families of fallen soldiers may actually be beyond his capabilities. And I genuinely did not think that that was a part of the job that someone could be bad at.
And we're back with your news next on 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Let the dogs out!
Hoot, 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 9:12 now, Steve Cochran Show, hour number 4 continues. This is show number 703 at Cochran Show on Twitter, facebook.com/Steve Cochran Show. Schamburg is Facebook Living this Steve Dale visit with our new buddy Katniss. Is Katniss a pit mix?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. A beautiful one. So if you look in the dictionary under pit bull,
yeah,
this dog, if you have a really good dictionary, is what you want to see. Yeah. I mean, this is the perfect pit bull, but of course, pit bull really is generally just a mixed breed dog anyway. But it's beautiful. It's what they call blue, and it's not really a blue color. It's kind of a gray-blue.
Steel gray.
Yeah, that's it. But you could watch Katniss either on Facebook, because we're Facebook Living, or at WGNradio.com and click on video, and you could see this beautiful dog available for adoption from the Anti-Cruelty Society, which Mary can tell us about. Not Mary. Mary can't tell us anything about it. Colette can. Sorry.
Colette can. Nice to see you again, Colette.
Sorry.
Colette, by the way, is just back from Nashville.
Yes, I am.
And Colette, what were you doing this weekend?
I was at a bachelor party.
Well, we've got some sort of echo on your mic. I don't know what that is. That's not Colette's reaction to a bachelorette party. You two are going to have to share that mic, Colette. Okay. Scoot over there if you would, please.
Sure.
Steve, why don't you jump to that one? There we go. All right, Colette, let's try that again.
Okay.
Just back from a bachelorette party.
Yes, I am.
And you're here with our new friend Katniss.
Yes.
Named after the Hunger Games character?
She is, yes, the main character.
Right, so we could have called her Jennifer Lawrence, but that takes too long?
It would be a little bit longer, yes.
Imagine how weird it would be if you're out on your back stoop yelling, Jennifer Lawrence! Jennifer Lawrence!
It's working. The dog's coming toward you, so maybe you had to change the name.
How big is Katniss?
She's 48 pounds.
And is that full grown?
Yes, she's 2 years old, so she's full grown.
Okay. And available where?
She is at our location on Grand and LaSalle at the Anti-Cruelty Society.
What's the best way to get a hold of you there?
You can check our website, because our website updates in real time with all the available animals.
Right.
Or you can come on down and meet her.
And there is a meeting process everybody goes through, right, prior to adoption?
Yes. So we ask you to come in and pick out the dog, take him out in our courtyard, and hang out with him for a little bit. And if you're interested, you can fill out an application, and you adopt right there on the spot.
Right. And Steve goes in the back, and he roughs them up to make sure they're worthy parents.
Absolutely.
So Katniss is one of those dogs that here's what you need in your home, a sofa.
Yes.
Because this dog clearly, so Colette sat down when she came into the green room at WGN Radio. And the dog instantly, as soon as her, no offense, Colette, rear end hit the sofa, the dog was in her lap instantly.
And granted, dogs don't know how big they are.
She had no idea how
right.
big she
so
was.
So she just jumps in your lap.
Yep, she did.
And you're not a big person, so Colette in your lap is a lot of Colette. Katniss in your lap is a lot of Colette.
Yeah, but clearly
you understand
a lover.
What I'm saying.
Yeah. Clearly,
who was in Nashville this weekend? And Dave, you just rolled around on the floor with Katniss.
I did. She's great. What a sweet dog.
She is. So people have this perception of pit bull type dogs, which is crazy because 99% of the time it's not right. This dog is clearly a sweet dog. Now, the dog came from Barks with a southern accent, probably?
She actually came in from a landlord issue, an owner surrender.
So she's from
the Chicago area,
okay.
Yes.
So that's interesting, too.
So it's not a wolf, y'all?
No.
No, originally we were going to come in with a dog from Mississippi, which is why I had that in my mind. And the great news is, because of Clear the Shelters, which was a couple of weeks ago, Anti-Cruelty Society and many other shelters around Chicago, they seem to have the spillover effect where people are still coming in huge numbers to clear the shelters, which is a great thing.
It's great news.
Yeah, yeah. You know, there's a this goes to politics in a way. There's an ordinance being proposed, Steve, in Chicago, where the idea is if you don't pick up dog poop in your backyard, the property owner can be fined $500 or more.
And this is your own backyard?
Mm-hmm. And okay. The reason why I don't like this proposal is because then landlords and also condominium associations may increasingly not allow dogs. Now, I have no idea why this happened in this case, you know, for this poor dog. But nevertheless, we want more places to allow dogs. We want to encourage that so the dogs don't go into anti-cruelty
society. Otherwise,
we'll
be clearing the shelter again soon.
Yeah, yeah.
The idea would not be to fill the shelters up right away again.
Yeah, so I don't think this is a particularly good idea. But some people say, you know, oh, the apartment doesn't allow dogs, and they... Sometimes it's true, sometimes it's not true. All I know is this dog's a very, very sweet dog.
And again, easy to adopt, as are all the dogs that you've brought in through the past several months.
We hope. Yeah, but here's what happens. When Dave Ennett is here, that's, first of all, a must to adopt the dog. Dave Ennett's, and he's here. And when Dave Ennett rolls on the floor with the dog, and Dave Ennett gives his Dave Ennett thumbs up, the dog gets adopted.
Really? Why?
That's how it goes.
Has the word gotten out in the canine community that you have to wrestle with them?
I don't know, but I'm very gratified to hear that. I'm glad it's
Colette's going back to work, and the dogs are going, can you bring Ennett by?
Colette, whatever I can do, I'm happy to do
just
it.
Come on down to the shelter.
What is the state of occupancy for you guys now? You're pretty full? You're not
we
so
are
full?
Not. So that's the clear the shelter has really worked, and we have had a hard time keeping animals in the shelter, which is fantastic. We only have 11 dogs at our main shelter right now.
As opposed to, like, what's a high watermark?
Well, we can hold up to 40 in just our adoption room. Yeah, so we're low on dogs, which is great. You know, they're getting homes, and that's what we're there to do.
That but unfortunately, great. They'll keep coming in. So this is...
Yes.
So it's not that many dogs today, and then by tomorrow there will be maybe twice the number, and that's what we have to change, you know? So it's not, if there's fault here, it's not the shelter's fault, and fault isn't quite the right word. It's the fact the dogs keep coming in. But I'll tell you, the great thing is that Chicago is doing so much better in this regard. Mm-hmm. So now Anti-Cruelty Society and many other shelters say, oh, Indiana, Kentucky, Tennessee,
catch up.
You've got some dogs. We'll take them. Yeah. Yeah.
All right, a couple of things coming up in Chicago related to your pets that you ought to know. If you love the architectural boat tour, you can bring your dog now?
Yeah, this started right here where you're sitting.
Uh-huh.
So in the Allstate Showcase studio, Holly Agra walks by. Holly is the person who runs Mercury Skyline Cruise Line, which is the tour boats that are on the southeast side of Lake Michigan. And she came in and she said, I called her into the studio and we were just chit-chatting on the air, off the air. I said, how's business? And she said, you know what? If those suburban people would come down for the architecture rise, I said, you know why they don't? They have to leave early in the morning. You've got a two-hour ride. They have lunch downtown. By the time they get back, their dog's past gotta go out time, you know? So you need a cruise for dogs. This was off the air. And she said, a what? I said, an architecture cruise for dogs.
Sure.
Yeah. And she said, I'll try it. So we come back on the air, and you're too polite to do this to guests, but I did. I said, I understand you're going to have an architecture cruise for dogs. And she looked at me and she said.
This is before she even had a chance to run it by anybody?
Pretty much.
Nice.
And she kind of shook her head, yes. I said, what will they be like? And she looked at me like with the deer staring
I'm
into the headlights.
I'm making this up as I go along.
Uh-huh. And I said, clearly you're going to show off the oldest fire hydrant in the city, the parks with the most squirrels.
Right.
And she laughed and she said, okay. Well, they had a lot of TV out there for the first one because this is so unique. But that was 13 or 12 years ago.
Right.
It is still going strong. And other communities around the country have followed it, actually, because it is so successful. So it's Saturday mornings and Sunday mornings, Mercury Skyline Cruise Line. It is, in fact, the K-9 Cruise. And by the way, today, I am surprised you are working.
Why is that?
Because it is National Mutt Day.
Oh, today's National Mutt Day?
Yes, I would
assume. Well, it's interesting you say that because I am a mutt, as most of us are.
Exactly. So I am surprised that we don't have that Mr. DeCastro is not saying we have the day off.
Mutts are fantastic.
And I'll tell you, this pit bull type dog, and I say it that way, available for adoption. So you're walking down the street from Anti-Cruelty at Grand and LaSalle, fairly close to here. People mm-hmm. probably say, oh, that's a beautiful pit bull.
Yes.
In fact, they did.
They did. A couple people stopped us.
Yeah. But in fact, it's probably just a mixed breed dog. So even that dog is a mutt. And most dogs in America now, more than half of them are mutts, actually.
I'm surprised it's only that high. I would have said 75-80%.
But yeah, in the cat world, it's about 90% are sort of domestic short hair. In the dog world, it's probably about 55-60% somewhere in there. But
so
the number's going up.
So most of the having dogs my whole life, most of the dogs I've been dealing with are trampy.
I didn't say anything about that. I would not say anything like that. And today we spay neuter. Actually, this dog probably has had a litter of puppies. You could see that. So, you know, who knows what her background
is. She's very sweet,
is.
And then she said...
Where did she go?
She's cuddling here with Michael.
She's actually taking listener calls. But pit bulls and pit bull mixes have a huge PR problem.
They
and
do.
Just because they look menacing. So do you when you get up in the morning.
And you've been talking to my wife.
There's sweetness and cuteness behind this dog's face like you wouldn't believe. She's very sweet. So,
she is.
Absolutely right.
And the perfect dog for people that want a 48-pounder to jump in your lap.
Absolutely.
Yeah. She can't get enough human.
Yep. So it's anticruelty.org.
Yes.
Or 312-644-8338.
That
if
is
I
our
got
number.
That right.
Yes.
I'm doing something really exciting, Steve. Lyme disease is an epidemic in America, and even here in the concrete forest of Chicago,
right.
There is Lyme disease. And I thought, you know what? If you take out your dog, and veterinarians think about tick disease in a way human doctors sometimes don't. It is on the forefront of their mind, and testing is really good in veterinary medicine to determine exposure not only for Lyme, but some other tick diseases as well. And I thought, you know what? We can't catch Lyme disease, by the way, from our dogs. That's impossible. But our dogs usually have someone on the other end of the leash. And I thought if Lyme is diagnosed, or any tick disease in a dog, it can be potentially you were in that same place.
Right.
So the exposure might have been environmentally you were there.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe you should get yourself tested too.
Right.
And I called the American Veterinary Medical Association based in Schaumburg right here. And I said, you think this is a good idea as a One Health campaign? They said it's a great idea. We got the Global Lyme Alliance, which is a national Lyme organization on board. And it's a One Health campaign, which I've been talking about. And you can go to Stop Lyme, which is the name of the campaign, stoplyme.com for further information, or my website, which is stevedale.tv. Click on programs and you'll see a campaign called Stop Lyme. And I'm very proud of what we've been able to do. So that's one thing. And then knowing that, the Ovarian Cancer Symptom Awareness people invited me in. It's sort of a private event, but I want to tell you about because what they're doing is pretty incredible. Also, in the One Health sort of thinking of things, that they're actually training dogs successfully, University of Pennsylvania, to detect ovarian cancer.
It's really amazing.
Before doctors can.
You know, we saw some of this with diabetes, mm-hmm. and you know, Ron Santo's
diabetic
wife,
alert founded Vicky. Doing, Vicky.
Yeah, diabetic mm-hmm. dogs. You know, training.
Mm-hmm.
What dogs are able to do and provide comfort for people who are dealing with very serious illnesses is incredible.
Yep.
And now in the testing end.
Yeah, and in fact,
get them a lab coat, man.
Well, one day we might be able to go in and say, you know, we'll knock on the door, and instead of the doctor answering in a lab coat, can you imagine
it's Katniss
a dog?
And her colleagues.
Yeah, exactly. It's possible. Anti-Cruelty has a lot of great programs, and one of their programs is they go out and they actually, my wife participates in this program. They go out and at Rush Hospital, I think it is, and they help doctors and nurses that are under, of course, enormous stress to feel better. It's a petting program. We've heard of petting programs for patients. This is one for medical professionals, which I think is a brilliant idea.
Yeah, it's a cool idea. And the Global Lyme Alliance, those are the good guys. That's not like a Marvel Comics bad guy group, the Global Lyme Alliance.
It sounds of a no. Yeah. They are good guys. So they're funding studies into Lyme disease, which we need to know a lot more about on the human side. On the veterinary side, we still need to know more about it, but we've learned a lot. Here's the thing that is a fact. Tick disease is an epidemic in America. It really is.
We're going to check Dave for ticks in just a second.
Please.
Yes. He lives in the wilderness. For information on all we've discussed, can go to you and your website?
stevedale.tv. Yes.
All right. And Colette, one more time, to adopt Katniss, what do we do?
You can go to anticruelty.org or come on by our shelter at 510 North LaSalle.
By the way, you mentioned your dog wrangler, but we should give him some props here. Who is helping us?
Michael Garrity.
Mike, good man, Mike.
Hey, Mike. And this is the City of Broad Shoulders, right? Chicago. Well, so this is a Chicago dog.
Broad Shoulders could be Philly. This would be Big Shoulders.
Big Shoulders.
Oh, never mind the whole idea.
9:25 back in a moment on 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Hey, Adam Hall.
Hi.
Can you give us any insight into the plan for Thursday?
Not really.
What can you tell us about Bear Jones, and is he ready if he needs to be?
Ready for what?
Coach John Fox won't be on Sesame Street because he won't help any of the youngsters, including our friend Adam Hogue, who joins us now. Are you in Bourbonnais?
I am. I'm standing on a practice field right now watching the Bears warm up here.
Are you sure? Because Coach Fox doesn't think you're on a practice field. He can't say whether or not it's a practice field. I mean,
no,
it could just be a lawn. Who are you to judge the grass?
I got scolded yesterday for saying that Leonard Floyd was even participating in one-on-one drills.
Scolded by?
Oh, the media relations staff.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah, it's okay. We're used to it by now. Actually, things have been better this year, I feel like.
Well, part of that is because the great Brandon Faber is over there now. Brandon Faber being with the Bears is such a tremendous upgrade for them. They're lucky to have him.
Yes. No, Brandon's been great so far. Actually, let me give Fox some credit, too. I feel like he's been a little bit open, and part of that's too – part of that is us kind of learning what he's going to be willing to talk about and not talk about, and just kind of getting more creative with our questions.
Be cool to see Fox and Belichick in a debate and see if either one of them answered a question. So,
Let me put it this way. I'd rather have Fox than Belichick.
Yeah, of course. Same here. So let's talk about these Bears. The quick start on it, obviously, was a Kyle Long issue, and are we healthy since then?
Yeah, I don't want to jinx anything, but it's been a pretty healthy first 4 days of camp. This is actually practice number 5 already. We're halfway through the Bourbonnais portion of training camp. That was a scare, I think, with Kyle on the first practice day back on Thursday, but they quickly got the testing results back and kind of knew that it wasn't all that big of a deal. I wouldn't be surprised if Kyle's back out here on Wednesday after tomorrow's off day. We'll see there. But otherwise, it's just been more cramping and... Yesterday, Eddie Goldman had heat illness, is what John Fox called it. It's been hotter down here than in the past few years, and I think that's sort of taken its toll, but no big injuries, which is actually a miracle because these field conditions have been very slippery.
Willie Young, who has had some injuries, got a new deal over the weekend. Any surprise, Adam?
About the deal?
Yeah.
Not really. We kind of knew it was in the works. Willie had made it very clear back in OTAs that he wanted a new contract. And, the timing just worked out that it happened to be down here in Bourbonnais. And I think it's a good move by the Bears. With Pernell McPhee's, and speaking of injuries, that's one I should have talked about right away. Pernell McPhee's knee is going to be an ongoing concern, I think. Right now, I think they're just trying to keep him off it as much as possible. There's no reason to have him waste reps out here. When you kind of know what he can do. But I get the sense that knee injury is going to be something that kind of lingers as a sort of a week-to-week issue throughout the regular season. So you want to have depth at that outside linebacker position because the Bears need to get after the quarterback a lot better than they did a year ago. And Willie Young, both Willie Young and Lamar Houston came on very strong late last year once they got fully healthy. And both of those guys, if I had to say who looks the best so far through the first few padded practices of camp, it's those two guys. Willie Young and Lamar Houston have looked great. They're both back in shape. They're both fully healthy. And I think it was wise for the Bears to lock Willie Young. Lamar's still locked up for another couple of years.
How about offensively? Any initial impressions from what Kevin White has done as he embarks on his second year and hopefully gets on the field this year?
Well, the good news is he looks just as explosive and quick as he did coming out of West Virginia. So I think that's been a welcome sight for Bears fans that are down here watching practices. He's looked the part of a top 10 draft pick. Now, what he still needs to clearly work on, and we've seen it a few times where he's had to get lined up correctly or told by the coaches, get in the right spot. Yes, he was around the building last year, but it's a lot different when you go out there and have to get out there on the practice field for the first time and go through the playbook. And that's all stuff that can be worked out here in training camp. But you could tell he's still going through some rookie pains, even though he's technically in year two of his career. But he hasn't been out on an NFL field yet. So there's going to be some growing pains with Kevin White. But I like what I see so far in terms of him coming back from the leg injury.
I was distracted with a technical issue there for a second. Have you guys talked about our kicker?
Have not.
Robbie Gould is a Chicago fan favorite and one of the great all-time scorers and impossible not to like. Having said that, he's had a couple of real confidence-killing moments, not just for him but for fans in the past couple of years. What do we expect from him, and is there a backup plan?
No, there is no backup plan. There's not even another kicker on this roster right now. So it's Robbie Gould, and he's going to have to make those clutch kicks that he actually missed a couple last year. But I think I've said this to you guys before. I mean, part of the reason why those were blown up as big as they were is because we're not used to seeing Robbie miss those, right? I mean,
right.
He's been so clutch
he
throughout his
career. He set the standard so high.
Exactly. It's a high bar, and he's a very competitive guy for a kicker, and I feel pretty strongly he's going to bounce back. And the other thing that you need to keep in mind, too, is, in terms of his overall numbers – last season, statistically, very good. And he actually started the year by making 19 straight field goals. He just happened to miss two or three big kicks in big moments. And that's what, he gets paid to do that, and he needs to make those. But he knows that. And obviously the Bears feel confident in him because they don't even have another kicker here in camp.
And from whatever you've seen, there's been no talk of any issues. He's fine.
Oh, no, he's fine. We got a chance to talk to him in the offseason. As the Bears celebrated their Ed Block Courage Award, Robbie Gould was there. And, he said that no issues in terms of him getting older. At least he's not feeling that. The leg strength still is there. In fact, he seems to be getting stronger every year in terms of leg strength. I did find it interesting, though. He said he wanted to add weight this year. Not really sure and never really got a good answer why a kicker needs to add weight, but that was something he was working on.
Yeah, most of us, as we get older, we want to drop weight.
Maybe he thinks it'll make him even stronger, but I haven't really seen an issue with the leg strength. I just think he needs to make those clutch kicks.
You mentioned five straight days of practice since Saturday. They've been in pads, and then tomorrow they're taking the day off, right?
Yes, tomorrow will be the first off day. The NFL mandates that every fourth padded practice you at least have to have an off day. So this is the longest grind they go in actually all of the preseason to have five practices in a row. It's the only time they're really allowed to do that. So they'll get an off day tomorrow and then come back on Wednesday and get right back at it with three more padded practices. John Fox doesn't take the pads off. Mark Trestman used to every once in a while, but Fox wants to see these guys hitting each other every day.
Your latest blog is on what?
It was just sort of observations from the first two padded practices over the weekend. Kind of my first initial thoughts. And we recorded a podcast last night, new episode of Intentional Grounding, with Adam Johns from the Sun-Times that has a bunch of observations as well.
Where do we get it?
WGNradio.com/Bears.
Any of the Bears watching The Bachelorette?
I don't think so. I guess Jay does know Aaron Rodgers' brother, though. I did find that out.
Kind of the NFL tie, right?
Well, Vanderbilt. Yeah. Vanderbilt.
Oh, is that the deal?
He played.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he did.
So what do you guys know about why Aaron Rodgers and his brother don't talk?
I don't know anything.
Aren't you
about
impressed
this?
I know this? I don't watch The Bachelorette. Aren't you impressed that I know this?
I am impressed.
I'm impressed that I know it.
Yeah.
Because impressed, I don't watch it either.
Fine line between impressed and sad.
right.
I have seen it.
Yeah.
I have seen it.
So why is Aaron Rodgers not talking to his brother?
He has not said, and Aaron Rodgers
because
has
he's a
not.
Member of the Packers and they're pure evil.
That could be.
I think he was mad they even asked him about it too.
Yeah.
Someone asked him about it at camp, which
Aaron Rodgers is not great with the media. He always looks like he's about to be attacked, which isn't the case.
No, Jay Cutler's actually better than Aaron Rodgers with the media now. Not on the football field, but
Jay Cutler's gonna have a great year. What?
Hey, he had a good year last year.
Yeah, he did. He absolutely did.
If he does what he did last year with these wide receivers that he didn't have last year, then it'll be good for the Bears' offense. Otherwise, there could be problems.
And in the words of the great Dan Hampton, we expect all Sean, not half Sean or no Sean. We expect all Sean.
That's pretty good.
Well, nice job, dude.
Still need a running back. Just keep that in mind, and maybe it's Jeremy Langford, but there's no Matt Forte for him to lean on this year.
A shame. All right, nice job by you, Adam Hoag. Hydrate. Talk to you later.
All right, thanks, guys.
See ya. It is hot. It was, you know, yesterday was sneaky hot. Did you notice that?
It got kind of, because I was at a tailgate party.
Yeah.
And it did get kind of, it was late afternoon.
Yeah, and I was out, and I expected a little bit of overcast to be fine, mm-hmm. but I went out, and it was too hot to ride in a golf cart.
Oh, no.
That's how you know you're old. Yeah. 9:52, back after this on 720 WGN. The Simpsons have chosen, Bill and Wendy here. Bill, this is big news for you. I know
this is big news.
The Simpsons have chosen for president. I know you're on your edge of your seat. Let's listen.
It's 3 a.m. and the phone's ringing in the White House. Who do you want to answer that call? Hillary Clinton?
Hello? The Situation Room? I'll be right there. It's for you.
Yes. From now on, it's always for me.
Or Donald Trump?
Not now. I'm on Twitter. And Elizabeth Warren tweets too damn much. Glad I exiled her. Send. Oh, and put my name on the Lincoln Memorial. Make Chris Christie eat a worm just for laughs. Disband NATO and make me some scrambled eggs in a gold plate. We're too late. The Chinese fleet is advancing. Just build another wall. Yes, in the ocean, loser.
Paid for by Americans who are really starting to miss Obama.
Yeah, I remember when Bush left, when Obama was elected, and the S hit the fan for the first year or so.
Yeah.
And I just pictured Bush sitting in Texas going, yeah, harder than it looks. Can't you see Obama just going, zippity-doo-dah, zippity. Good luck, people. Yeah. Well, how are you?
Fine. You know, for years, I have made fun of the career choices of Steve Guttenberg, but never again. He was fantastic.
Very funny.
Boy, is he funny.
And he's in the highly sought-after Levantula.
Yeah.
Dave went over the sci-fi lineup on Saturday.
I can't wait. Mm-hmm. I know what I'm doing Saturday.
Well, it starts with a Sharknado ripoff. How can you not respect the artistic endeavors by the Sharknado people?
Right.
Somebody called Bait. And then they run both Levantulas, Levantula and two Levantula. Now it's personal, whatever it's called. And then what was the one after Levantula?
Big Ass Spider.
Oh, yeah, Big Ass Spider.
Oh, that'll be good, too.
And you know what it is? It's a story of a big ass spider.
It is?
Yeah.
I like that he says that his movie is based on a true story.
They're all true stories, Bill.
Are they all true? I didn't know that.
Lava spitting spiders.
I didn't know that.
That's exactly right.
But he was fantastic.
Do we know who's doing the 10 o'clock news?
No, that's what I was trying to figure out.
Steve, are you doing the 10 o'clock news?
I'm sitting here standing by waiting for that. I think Mary was going to clarify that.
Well, you're sitting
here
standing.
Dave.
You said you're sitting here standing by. Are you standing here sitting by?
I'm sitting, actually. Dave, are you doing the 10 o'clock news? Or?
I have not been told I'm doing the 10 o'clock
news. Bill, will you do it?
I'll do some of the news. I'd love to do
some
of the news.
I'm ready and
raring to go.
Are
you ready? Standing by in 1 minute.